Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, November 1st, 2020. I'm reading on Thursday, November 5th. I'll begin with the most recent articles that were published today and then work our way back into the week. COVID-19 update for Tom Green County in San Angelo. November 4th, City of San Angelo. 5,386 positive cases reported. 108 new positive cases. 93 deaths. 57 Tom Green County residents. 36 out-of-county residents. 53 currently hospitalized. 685 active cases. San Angelo residents in their 20s and 30s vote for the first time thanks to local nonprofit by John Tufts, published November 3rd. Christine Rodriguez felt excited as she inched closer and closer to the front doors of MHMR services for the Concho Valley. Standing ahead of her in line were about 30 other people waiting patiently to enter the polling location and cast their Election Day ballots. For Rodriguez, Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, marked the first time the 37-year-old San Angelo resident would vote in a U.S. presidential election. "I feel great. I feel like I can make a difference," Rodriguez said underneath her white face mask. "It's like an adrenaline rush to see what's going to happen." Rodriguez wasn't alone. There to vote beside her were Rodriguez's friends and fellow San Angelo Clubhouse members. The nonprofit organization at 404 South Irving Street assists people diagnosed with mental illnesses in learning job and social skills. Several months ago, officials at the local nonprofit learned Rodriguez and other clubhouse members had never participated in an election before, which spurred program director Amy Mizzle Flint into action. "We realized that many members of the San Angelo Clubhouse had never voted, so we talked about the importance of having their voices heard on Election Day," Mizzle Flint said. Mizzle Flint encouraged San Angelo Clubhouse members and staff to register to vote in time for the 2020 election, seven of whom did, with five being first-time voters. She told members that with the privilege of voting comes the responsibility of education. "It's a really good learning process, even for people who have voted in the past," Mizzle Flint said. Clubhouse members spent 2 weeks during their morning and afternoon meetings learning who and what was on the 2020 ballot. Mizzle Flint stressed information presented to them was unbiased as they discussed the differences between political parties and the candidates themselves. Rodriguez said COVID-19 inspired her to participate in this year's election. "It's especially important this year," Rodriguez said. "Masks and social distancing have affected a lot of people living with mental illness. It is important for me to advocate for others. I feel like by voting, I can make a change." Rodriguez said she plans to vote in future elections as well. "There are so many important issues," she said. "This election determines what will happen with our future and our children's future." In October, San Angelo Clubhouse officials invited Texas 11 congressional candidates Wacy Alpha Cody, Libertarian, John Mark Hogg, Democrat, and August Pfluger, Republican, to introduce themselves and speak why they were running. Both Hogg and Cody arrived on separate days, October 16th and 20th, respectively, and spoke about issues that matter to them personally, as well as their views on mental health. Mizzle Flint said, due to scheduling conflicts, Pfluger was unable to attend, but made plans to speak with Clubhouse members after Election Day. Candace Troy, 34, who has voted in past elections, said she enjoyed hearing Cody speak, and even though he's the underdog, she still plans to vote for him. "I really like how mental health is such a big priority for him," Troy said. Issues concerning mental health were also important to first-time voter Salvador De Los Santos, 25. "Biden really seems to care about the subject of mental health," De Los Santos said. I feel like he might be able to make a difference with this pandemic. He might lead us in the right direction. After voting for the first time, De Los Santos said he might participate in future elections as well. I'm just now starting to get into this, he said. I'm very inexperienced with politics. There is a lot to learn. I want to learn more about the things that matter. Rodriguez said the candidate's views on mental health were also important to her. People who struggle with mental illness have been taught to be silent, she said. Some people can't vote. I want to vote so I can help make a change for people who struggle with mental illness. I want them to know they don't have to be quiet. House Call. Flu shots more important than ever this year. By Dr. Chris Barnett, Shannon Medical Center, published November 5th. Flu season is here, and since it seems likely that COVID-19 will still be spreading through this fall, there's a risk we could have two pandemics at the same time. That's a dangerous possibility we want to avoid so we can maintain adequate health care resources for all patients. It's why it's vital for you and your family to get your flu shots this year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, recommends flu shots for everyone 6 months and older, with rare exceptions. Flu shots are especially important this year for essential workers. This includes healthcare workers and others who offer needed services to the public during the pandemic. People at increased risk for severe illness from COVID-19. This includes older adults and people with certain underlying conditions. People at increased risk for flu complications. This includes infants and young children, pregnant women, people 65 and older, and people with chronic conditions. While the flu and COVID-19 share some symptoms, they are still caused by different viruses. So a flu shot will not protect you from COVID-19. Still, it can help protect you from the flu or from serious illness if you do get the flu. Is it too late to get a flu shot? While it's ideal to get your flu shot in September or October, before the flu starts spreading, it's not too late to get it now. Flu activity typically peaks between December and February, but it can last through May, so you may still get some protection if you get a shot now. Should I get a flu shot if I have COVID-19? No, you should wait to get your flu shot until you feel better and your doctor says it's safe to go out. Where can I get my flu shot? You can make an appointment with your primary care provider to receive your flu shot. Shannon Pharmacy is also offering flu shots to the public. For more information, you can call them at 325-655-8191. COVID-19 scaled back events in San Angelo, but city staff used the time to make facilities upgrades. By Sydney Walker, City of San Angelo, published November 5th. Even with COVID-19 affecting events tremendously this year, civic events accomplished several goals. The majority of our facility improvements approved by City Council were completed. Although we did not host as many events as we normally do in a year, we are grateful for the events that we were allowed to have. The Foster Communications Coliseum hosted several events in October, including the Just Between Friends sale and the Gun and Blade show. Throughout the year, we remodeled the main dressing room, repainted the back doors, and inside of the main arena. In addition, we took care of minor maintenance issues at the Coliseum. I'm hopeful that we will have a busy spring schedule in 2021. At the Bill Ayler Sr. Memorial River Stage, we remodeled and fixed the maintenance issues in the box office, concession stand, and restrooms. In addition, we have switched to LED lighting in the dressing rooms and stage area. We are also in the process of upgrading the internet and Wi-Fi services for the River Stage. Just like the Coliseum, I believe next year we will be able to host more concerts and events at the River Stage. The McNeese Convention Center also hosted several events, including the Chamber of Commerce Luncheon. We have hosted a few private events there with COVID-19 restrictions. We upgraded the lighting in the main ballroom to LED and are working on a few more upgrades that we are discussing with city staff. We are also hoping to upgrade the internet and Wi-Fi services in the convention center. You may have noticed the fresh seal coating that was laid at the Farmers Market and the Paseo. The Farmers Market had another successful year with its weekly produce sale. The season has ended, but we were glad to host them again. If you are interested in booking any civic event issues, please call 325-653-9577. Sydney Walker is the Civic Events Manager for the City of San Angelo. Contact him at sydney.walker@costx.us or phone 325-653-5328. Construction Starts on Texas Burger in San Angelo by Rosanna Frere, published November 5th. Construction has started on a new burger joint in San Angelo. Texas Burger is being built at 1502 Knickerbocker Road next to Rose's Cafe, according to the City of San Angelo September Permits and Inspections Report. The restaurant costs $800,000, according to the report. Texas Burger has had locations in West Texas for decades. The first was opened in Odessa in 1967, before finally deciding to expand to San Angelo. Founder Bobby D. Cox also owns and operates Texas Burgers in Midland and Andrews. In all, Cox has built and operated over 100 restaurants in Texas and New Mexico, most notably Taco Villa and Rose's Cafe. To take a look at the Texas Burger menu, visit https://texasburger.net/menu. Former San Angelo Meatpacking Plant Manager Pleads Guilty to Misleading Federal Regulators by John Tufts, published October 30th. A former manager of a San Angelo meatpacking plant pleaded guilty Thursday to misleading federal regulators, according to a news release issued by U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Texas, Aaron Neely Cox. Reen Brooks, 51, pleaded guilty to misprison of a felony, or concealing knowledge of the actual commission of a felony, before U.S. Magistrate Judge John Parker on Thursday, October 29th. Brooks, the former manager at Texas Packing Company, admitted in plea papers that he concealed knowledge from federal regulators about the toxic chemical levels at the meat processing facility. Federal laws require employees to undertake steps that limit exposure to toxic substances to employees and the public, said U.S. Attorney Aaron Neely Cox. Criminals that deceive regulators and skirt the law, potentially putting lives at risk, will be held accountable for their actions. According to court documents, Texas Packing Company, 1809 North Bell Street, was operating a refrigeration unit containing over 10,000 pounds of anhydrous ammonia in violation of OSHA regulations, posing a danger to the safety of the plant's employees. Anhydrous ammonia is a chemical used to recirculate fluid in the refrigeration systems at facilities such as meat processing plants, according to the release. Exposure to the chemical in high concentrations is toxic and may result in temporary or permanent blindness, serious burns, corrosive damage to the mouth, throat, and stomach, asphyxiation, and death. The company also failed to provide full protection, guard machines, and equipment, control hazardous energy, and implement a respiratory protection program, according to an earlier OSHA news release. OSHA requires processing plants that operate with levels of anhydrous ammonia exceeding 10,000 pounds to implement a safety program to prevent the catastrophic release of dangerous chemicals and minimize damage in the event of an accidental release or if spills occur. In 2018, Texas Packing Company was operating its facility with 16,500 pounds of anhydrous ammonia, or approximately 6,000 pounds over the level at which the safety program is required, according to the release. An individual reported the hazardous chemical issues to OSHA. The following day, an OSHA inspector traveled to the plant and met with Brooks, according to the release. Documents falsified to save company $20,000. Officials at Texas Packing Company were informed that the implementation of a Process Safety Management, PSM, program would cost about $20,000. Prosecutors said an individual at Texas Packing falsified a document with the intent to make OSHA believe the plant was in compliance with regulations to avoid the potential costs. Brooks then gave that document to an OSHA inspector with the intent to deceive the inspector, according to the release. OSHA later fined Texas Packing Company $615,640 for the plant's noncompliance related to the anhydrous ammonia levels, lack of PSM program, and for other violations. Prosecutors said the fine was one of the top 10 largest assessed by OSHA in 2018. Brooks faces up to 3 years in federal prison after pleading guilty and a fine up to $250,000. A sentencing date has not been set, according to the release. This investigation was conducted by United States Department of Labor, Office of Inspector General. Assistant U.S. Attorney Ann Howey is prosecuting this case. The company opened in early 2017, according to an online news release. Texas Packing Company is a new state-of-the-art harvesting facility located in San Angelo. Newly renovated, USDA approved, and a member of the Southwest Meat Association, Texas Packing Company's goal is to provide the best products from prime to no-roll beef nationally and internationally, the 2017 news release stated. San Angelo ISD students can get free meals regardless of income. Here's how to apply. By Elena Edgen, published November 3rd. San Angelo ISD has extended the deadline to apply for free student meals due to an extension in federal funds, according to a district news release Tuesday. San Angelo ISD is happy to announce that the district has been approved to serve free meals to all children through the remainder of the school year. Thanks to an extension in federal funds, all children are eligible for these free meals, regardless of income eligibility, the district said in a statement. Though families are not required to pay for meals this 2020-2021 school year, the district asks people to fill out the application for free and reduced lunches by Monday, November 9th. The application can direct federal and state funds to provide resources, including weekend food for food insecure families through the Food to Kids Backpack Program. School materials such as technology, internet hotspots, and book packs. Discounted fees for advanced placement SAT and ACT testing. Reduced costs for college applications. Any family can apply regardless of income eligibility, according to the release. For more information, people can contact the Child Nutrition Department at 325-659-3615. Tell the San Angelo Police Department what you think of them through City Survey by Elena Edgen, published November 4th. The city has released a survey which will allow people to review the San Angelo Police Department, according to a city news release. The mayor's policing work group, which includes community members, has released a survey where people can give their opinions on the police department. The survey will help the group figure out what they should focus on, according to the release. People can take the survey online at cosatx.us/SAPD survey. Affidavit states, child reports years of sex abuse by San Angelo man to school officials, by Elena Edgen, published November 4th. A San Angelo man was arrested Tuesday after a child, 12, reported multiple sexual assaults over a three-year period, according to an arrest affidavit. On October 19th, a child made an outcry and written statement of sexual abuse to school educators. The outcry included inappropriate touching, which began in 2017, records state. The child, during an interview at the San Antonio Child Advocacy Center on October 29th, told investigators the assaults happened in Grape Creek, later identified as a San Angelo address. Their father would leave the child and a sibling with the man during summer visitations while he went to work, according to the affidavit. The first assault occurred when the child was around 7 or 8 years old. He touched the child inappropriately and told them not to tell anyone, according to the affidavit. The child's father told officers he took the children there several times a week while he went to work between June 15th and July 27th. The child also reported one sexual assault, according to the affidavit. Augustin Dominguez Tapia, 75, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of continuous sexual abuse on a child younger than 14 years old. He remained in the Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 3 p.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. This charge is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Analysis. Tom Green County voters dug in for Trump and Biden. Third parties lost ground. By John Tufts, published November 4th. It was tougher in Tom Green County to run as a Libertarian or Green Party candidate seeking the Oval Office in 2020, local election data shows. Voters in Tom Green County largely ignored third-party choices and cast more ballots instead for either the Republican or Democratic candidate for U.S. president than in 2016, according to unofficial results posted by the county election office. Republicans and Democrats gained ground. Republicans in Tom Green County gave U.S. President Donald Trump 32,129 votes, 71.58% total, which is more support than he received the last time his name was on the local ballot, 27,494 votes, 71.45%. The Democratic Party also gained ground with local voters who showed more support for former Vice President Joe Biden than they did for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Biden chalked up 12,106 ballots, 26.97% total, from Tom Green County voters as opposed to Clinton's 9,173 votes, 23.84%. As of 11:59 p.m. Tuesday, November 3rd, there were 44,886 ballots cast for presidential candidates by Tom Green County voters, about 6,400 more votes than were cast in 2016, which local election officials credited to the state's extended early voting time frame. Local support for Libertarian and Green Party candidates deflated. In 2016, Tom Green County voters cast 1,402 ballots for Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, 3.64% total. Green Party candidate Jill Stein racked up 218 votes, 0.57%. That level of support appeared to crater in 2020 with local voters. Presidential hopeful Joe Jorgensen with the Libertarian Party received 539 votes, 1.20% total. Green Party candidate Howie Hawkins garnered 96 votes, 0.21% total. Voters in the surrounding Concho Valley area also cast more ballots for both Trump or his Democratic Party challenger in 2020 than in 2016. Republican August Pfluger clinches Texas 11th Congressional District win, by John Tufts, published November 3rd. Republican candidate August Pfluger of San Angelo roared ahead of his opponents early Tuesday night to clinch Texas's 11th congressional district race. He is predicted to replace Mike Conaway, Republican, who announced his retirement in 2019. From his campaign watch party at the Cactus Hotel, 36 East Tuig in San Angelo, Pfluger thanked those who supported him and said he looked forward to serving the district. "We've worked hard. It's been 14 months of campaigning," Pfluger said. "I'm looking forward to getting to work for this district. We're so thankful to those who have supported us." At 7 p.m. November 3rd, Pfluger picked up a commanding lead of early votes in Tom Green County with 20,227 ballots. Running against Pfluger was Democratic Party challenger John Mark Hogg, who received 6,350 early votes, and Libertarian Party Wasey Alpha Cody, who received 562 votes, according to the Tom Green County Election Office. At 9:15 p.m., Hogg called August Pfluger to congratulate him on his campaign. At 10:11 p.m., Pfluger won 32,252 votes in Tom Green County, according to the final unofficial election results. Hogg earned 11,046 votes, and Cody earned 1,058 votes in Tom Green County. As of 11:59 p.m., with about 94% of District 11 counties reporting across the state, Pfluger had received a total of 234,869 votes. Hogg received 55,567 votes, and Cody received 5,872 votes, according to the Texas Secretary of State's office. Election day results are considered unofficial until canvassed by the parties. Online shopping event to showcase San Angelo small businesses this weekend by Rosanna Aguilera, published November 4th. An online artisan market and boutique event is featuring San Angelo small businesses during a two-day sale on Facebook. Here's how it works. First, join the shopping event group at facebook.com/groups/337-625-864-01-4977. No sales will be posted on the informational page. You must join the group. The sale begins at 9 a.m. Saturday, November 7th, and ends at 8 p.m. Sunday, November 8th. There will be live sales, photo shopping, demos, discounts, giveaways, and more during the event. Items include wreaths, boutique clothing, candles, home decorations, and more. All of our vendors are part of the San Angelo community, the Facebook group states. We are so excited for the variety of talent. Photo albums will be posted every hour with products. Buyers will be responsible for invoices from the vendors within 24 hours. "Our vendors are working so hard to bring such a unique and fun show to San Angelo," the group stated. "Thank you all so much for supporting small San Angelo businesses." Here's a list of the businesses participating and the times they will have their live sale. Saturday sale, 10 a.m. live sale, Simply London Naturals. 12 p.m. live sale, Blessed with Grace. 2 p.m. demo, Scrappin' Katie. 4 p.m. live sale, Dress Up Your Door. 6 p.m. live sale, Cracker Ginger. 8 p.m. demo, Us Born Books. Sunday sale, 1 p.m. demo, Color Street. 3 p.m. live sale, Us Born Books. 5 p.m. demo, 31 Gifts. 7 p.m. demo, Cracked Ginger. Other businesses participating are CK Buffalo Flair, Mad Cow Designs, West Texas Knots, Sunshine Girl, and Noonday. To get notifications of postings, go to the group page, click the three dots in the top right corner, click Manage Notifications, select All Posts, and save. HEB Meals for the Elderly provides 600 holiday plates to disabled older residents by Rosanna Aguilera, published November 3rd. Meals for the Elderly delivered about 600 traditional Thanksgiving meals Tuesday, November 3rd, to disabled and older residents in San Angelo. Since 2008, HEB has donated these meals as part of its Feast of Sharing initiative to prevent hunger. Jessica Beringer, Director of Development and Marketing for Meals for the Elderly, said HEB sponsored all of the meals by donating the cost of the food. All of the meals that go out will have an HEB sticker on them to indicate their donation, Beringer said. Dawson Tucker, Meals for the Elderly Executive Director, and Nick George, HEB Top Store Leader, teamed up for a delivery route Tuesday. Tucker said there were 49 routes, with 47 drivers delivering the Thanksgiving meals. This is a very underserved community, and Meals for the Elderly does a great job serving them, George said. Nonprofit work is more of a calling than it is a job, and they are amazing at it. One of the meal recipients, Carol Barton, said she was grateful for her meal and everything the two organizations do for San Angelo. You never realize how much you miss these meals until your son is back in Houston and you don't know what you're going to eat for dinner since he isn't there to cook. City approves zoning change, paving way for new Tractor Supply store in San Angelo, by John Tufts. A new Tractor Supply retail store is one step closer to appearing in the north side of San Angelo after City Council approved the rezoning of about 12 acres of land in the 900 block of West 33rd Street. City Council passed the rezoning measure on November 3rd during their consent agenda. It was unknown Tuesday if Tractor Supply will open a second retail outlet or if the current Tractor Supply location, 2701 Southwest Boulevard, will relocate. On September 21st, members of the city's planning commission approved rezoning the empty patch of land unanimously, 6-0, and said the construction of a Tractor Supply store along North Bryant Boulevard was consistent with commercial development in the area. There were 27 notifications mailed to nearby residents, but officials received no response, according to city documents. During public comments at the Planning Commission meeting, Houston Clark, who requested the zoning change, told officials Tractor Supply was thrilled to be in San Angelo and that its location on North Bryant Boulevard would assist with further development. Crumble Cookie announces tentative opening date in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera, published November 3rd. Crumble Cookies has announced its tentative opening date in San Angelo as it continues to look for employees. The owners of the new location are Edward and Samantha Ortiz, who are both Angelo State University alumni, according to a news release. Both are excited to be back in Angelo and bringing the best cookies in the world to the people of San Angelo and the surrounding areas, the release stated. The new shop is opening at 5651 Sherwood Way, Suite 107, next to Starbucks, with a tentative opening date of December 4th. We're excited to bring Crumble to San Angelo and hope the local residents love these cookies as much as we do, Jason McGowan, Crumble co-founder and CEO, said. We love the traditional flavors, but also like to surprise our customers with new fun flavors. My personal favorite is the raspberry cheesecake cookie. McGowan said each cookie recipe is crafted to bring back existing customers and encouraging new customers to come and try it. Inside every Crumble store, staff members mix, bake, and prepare the cookies fresh in an open kitchen for all to see. Having our customers see every cookie being made is one of the best experiences of our stores, Sawyer Hemsley, Crumble co-founder and COO, said. Each ingredient is carefully chosen to provide customers with the highest quality cookie on the market. The shop features four specialty cookies each week, along with the standard favorites, including warm chocolate chip and chilled sugar cookie. Cold milk and gourmet ice cream are also on the menu. Crumble is open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. weekdays, 8 a.m. to midnight Friday and Saturday, and closed on Sundays. The company is looking to hire 30 part-time bakers and crew members, Anyone interested in joining the Crumble crew can send a resume to sanangelo@crumble.com. We're going back to our roots. San Angelo Oil Company sells convenience stores, by Elena Edgen, published November 2nd. A San Angelo oil business of nearly 40 years has sold its convenience stores, according to a news release Monday. On November 2nd, Georgia-based company Majors Management, LLC, announced its purchase of Star Stop Food Marts, formerly owned by San Angelo's Regal Oil, LLC. The convenience store's 14 locations include San Angelo, El Dorado, and Big Spring. This sale became the eighth transaction for Majors in 16 months, according to a Majors news release. "We are very excited to expand our retail presence in West Texas with the Regal locations and to extend our multi-state supply network with this acquisition," said Majors president Ben Smith. "We are committed to providing high-quality and dependable service to Regal's company-operated locations and supply customers." Dan Baker, Regal's treasurer and director of operations, stated the sale of the convenience stores had been in the works for years. COVID-19 slowed the sale, which was finalized on October 8th. One important point in the sale was that Majors keep the convenience store employees, Baker said. "That was important to us, to make sure and certain that these employees had some place to go. All those employees still have jobs," Baker said. While Baker said they would miss the friends they've made through the convenience stores, the sale allows Regal Oil to change its focus. "We're going back to our roots," Baker said. "It was time for us to move on and concentrate on the wholesale side." Regal Oil, which will celebrate its 40th anniversary in 2021, began with John Phillips in 1981. The family-owned business started as a wholesale and transportation operation, which now supplies a range of petroleum products. Santa's Santa Fe Christmas still on track for next month in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera, published November 2nd. Santa's Santa Fe Christmas is still scheduled in San Angelo for 2020. Although many events have been canceled due to COVID-19 concerns, this festive event is still on as planned. The Railway Museum of San Angelo, 703 South Chadron Street, is hosting the event from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on December 5th. Santa will arrive by train at 10 a.m. There will also be local vendors set up for participants to get early Christmas shopping done. There will be plenty of room to social distance, hand sanitizer available, and face mask safety, stated a news release. The museum is searching for vendors to set up and promote their products and services. Each vendor will have a 10x10 booth area. Vendors are required to bring their own tables and chairs. The cost is $35 if you register before November 23rd and $50 if you register before December 2nd. A sponsorship package is $250 and includes a free vendor entry ticket, your logo on the museum website, and your business will be promoted on social media by the museum. For more information, call 325-280-3942. Tom Green County Sheriff's Office welcomes new operations lieutenant, by Elena Edgen, published November 2nd. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office announced its new operations manager Monday morning, according to a Sheriff's Office news release. The Sheriff's Office named Burley Lockler, a 30-year veteran of the Department of Public Safety, as its operations lieutenant Monday, November 2nd. Lockler graduated from Northwestern University's School of Police Staff and Command, as well as the Governor's Center for Management Development. He's worked as a lieutenant in the Motor Vehicle Theft Service and a Texas Ranger. As a Texas Ranger, Lockler served as lieutenant in the Special Operations Group Border Security for three Joint Operations Intelligence Centers, which includes El Paso, Marfa, and Del Rio. His experience also includes being a certified hostage negotiator, firearms instructor, and armorer. San Angelo celebrating Veterans Day 2020 with free food, flag placing, parade, and more by Rosanna Aguilera, published November 2nd. San Angelo is celebrating Veterans Day this year with free food, a parade, flag placing, and more. Most City of San Angelo offices will be closed Wednesday, November 11th in observance of Veterans Day, but there will be no interruption of garbage collection or landfill operations. The 2020 Veterans Day Parade is planned for Saturday, November 7th in downtown San Angelo. The parade is at 11 a.m. and participants should line up at 9:30 a.m. Flag placing. The Friends of Fairmont Cemetery Board needs volunteers to help place American flags on the graves of veterans buried at the cemetery. There are more than 1,600 service members buried at Fairmont. The flag placing will be at 2 p.m. Sunday, November 8th, beginning at the cemetery gazebo. For more information about the flag placing, contact Martha Elder at 325-656-1705. The Veterans Commemorative Ceremony is at 11 a.m. Wednesday, November 11th at Fairmont Cemetery, 1120 West Avenue Inn. The keynote speaker will be Donnie Dunnigan, retired U.S. Marine Corps drill instructor and voice of Disney's Bambi. Dunnigan led a distinguished 25-year military career with the Marine Corps. Golden Corral is handing out free meal and beverage cards from November 1st through the 30th. The free meal voucher is valid for one use between November 1st and May 31st, 2021, for lunch or dinner on Monday through Thursday. Buffalo Wild Wings is giving 10 free boneless wings and fries to veterans November 11th with identification. Chili's is giving a free meal from a special menu on Wednesday, November 11th to veterans. CC's Pizza is giving a free adult buffet for veterans with military ID on November 11th. Cotton Patch Cafe is giving a free chicken fried steak or chicken fried chicken on November 11th to veterans. The restaurant will also gift a commemorative U.S. flag pin. Red Lobster will offer a free appetizer or dessert from their select Veterans Day menu. To receive the offer, show a valid military ID. Here's a related article. Veterans Day Parade taking place Saturday in downtown San Angelo by Rosanna Aguilera, published November 2nd. The 2020 Veterans Day Parade is planned for Saturday, November 7th in downtown San Angelo. The parade is at 11 a.m. and participants should line up at 9:30 a.m. Luis Martinez, chairman of the All Veterans Council of Tom Green, said the theme is Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans. Martinez said March 29th was Vietnam Veterans Day, and due to COVID-19, the ceremonies were canceled in San Angelo. We want to take the time to not just honor all veterans, but we want to honor the veterans that paved the way for veterans like myself, Martinez said. According to the National Weather Service, the high for the day is 77 degrees, but will be breezy. Bring a blanket or jacket to watch the event. It's hard to believe she's really gone. Family of Selena Bradley speak on loss. By Elena Edgen, published October 31st. The last time Selena Bradley's brother saw her was during dinner. They had chili dogs and Frito pie at his San Angelo home. She knows I hate hot dogs, said Chris Burney. I don't care if it's a hot dog, corn dog, chili dogs. She came over to the house Thursday night, and she wanted chili dogs. Of all things, chili dogs. After dinner, Selena dyed her hair purple with the help of her sister-in-law and a family friend. Anybody who knew Selena knew she always had crazy hair, Bernie reminisced with a laugh. That's what made her Selena. Crazy hair, crazy personality. She always found a way to make someone laugh. Selena seemed like she was doing well. Her usual happy self, family members said. The next day she disappeared, and what transpired afterward, shook those closest to her. You never expect this to happen to your family. For this to hit not close, but dead center in our home, it's a feeling that can't be described, Bernie said. On October 16th, William James Martinez, a longtime friend and Bradley's boyfriend of 6 months, met the family in Bernie's front yard as concern grew about Selena's whereabouts. 3 days later, she was found in the freezer of Martinez's home in the 100 block of Allen Street. On October 20th, Martinez, who also uses the last name Hernandez, was booked into Jones County Jail after being charged with murder. Selena, 23, was 14 weeks pregnant with Martinez's son, her brother said. The child would have been named Xavier. She was also the mother of Diesel Hunter, 3, and Harley Hunter, 4. I hate having to talk about her in a past tense, said her mother, Christy Skelton. It's hard to believe she's really gone. She was a great mom. She just glowed when she was with them. She loved her family, and there was nothing she wouldn't do for not just her family, but also her friends. Skelton and Bernie described Selena as a kind woman, whether she was fishing with her brother, spending time with her family, or just enjoying the outdoors. She always found ways to make someone smile. Her train of thought was, hey, what can I do to help someone else out? Bernie said. Pretty much every minute around my sister was a memory. She was a fun-loving, outgoing person. Celebration Bridge near downtown San Angelo Riverwalk was among Selena's favorite places to spend time and fish. She often referred to it as the Mermaid Bridge because of the nearby iconic statue. It was a fitting location for her candlelight vigil Friday night. At 8 p.m. Friday, a crowd of more than 40 people stood on Celebration Bridge. Some wore blue Selena Strong shirts or held glow sticks, later replaced by candles. They held their children close as the family spoke of Selena. Her death was a tragedy, but tonight we don't want to think about that tragedy, Skelton said. We want to think about the good times when she was alive and how she lived her life. Bradley's grandmother took the microphone to mention how Selena was with her father and grandfather. Selena is skipping around in heaven with her daddy and her papa, and they're just having a ball, she said. She reminded the crowd how Bradley was so much like her parents and a pleasure to be around. Between tears and sniffed sobs, there was laughter as people mentioned their favorite memories with Bradley. Bernie, the final speaker, opened up with acknowledging their sibling rivalry. People would ask her in school, "Is this your brother?" And she'd say, "I don't know him," Bernie said with a laugh. The last 2 years, Selena and I got close. As Bernie spoke of his sister, people began to light their candles. Several members of the family huddled on the ground as a bundle of star-shaped balloons drifted away. At 11 a.m. Saturday, people gathered into Forgiven Ministries, 2900 West Farm to Market Road, 2105, for Bradley's service. A pair of blue and brown cowboy boots sat atop a gray casket with pink clasps. Over 60 people settled into their seats as Russ Frazier, a preacher, began the service. Bradley began attending Forgiven Ministries when she was 12 years old. She was baptized by Frazier. As long as she lives in our memories and in our hearts, she's never gone, he comforted. She was laid to rest on Saturday at Lawn Haven Memorial Gardens. Family describes moments leading up to disappearance and discovery. About 4 a.m., October 16th, hours after their dinner, Bernie received a text from Selena's phone number asking him to keep her son for a few days. This wasn't unusual, as the single mother occasionally wanted time to herself, so they agreed to pick her son up from his grandfather's home. Selena's daughter was with her father, the family said. At 11:30 a.m. that day, Martinez called Bernie to ask if she had heard from Selena. I tried to call Selena. I asked Mom. At the time, we thought she was just taking some time for herself, Bernie said. Later that night, Martinez met with the family as they continued trying to reach Selena. Martinez appeared to be genuine about everything. He was standing in my front yard that night, her brother said. Bernie stayed in touch with Martinez, who told the family he was in Midland while the search continued. But according to court documents, Bradley was likely dead October 16th. The following Monday, Tom Green County Sheriff's Office received information from a childhood friend of Martinez. The friend told investigators Martinez said he had done something terrible and he would go to prison for life. Using information from the friend, the sheriff's office obtained a search warrant for a business and home tied to Martinez. They also reached out to Selena's family. I was on my way home when the detectives called me and said they were at my house, Skelton said. As soon as I hung up, I looked at my husband and said, they don't come to the house unless there's bad news. Her mother gave detectives access to Selena's Facebook, which had a post dated October 17th that Skelton believed wasn't written by her daughter. She also called Bernie soon after she learned of Selena's death. When Mom called, the emotions just went everywhere, Bernie said. It's one of those feelings that you never expect or want to feel. This is the kind of thing you see on TV. Bernie's son, age one, keeps asking for Aunt Lena. How do you explain this to him? How do you explain to her 3- and 4-year-old? Bernie asked. When Martinez was charged in the case after fleeing police in Abilene and being captured in Hamlin on October 20th, Bernie was shocked. The men had worked together at an auto shop and became close during their nearly 6 years of friendship. So close, they had keys to each other's homes. It's one of those things you never know someone as well as you think you do, Bernie said. Don't ever trust somebody too much, because it's the people closest to you you'd never expect until it's too late. How to help. People can donate to the family through GoFundMe.com. The money will be used to help with funeral costs and family expenses. James Keck, a childhood friend operating the GoFundMe, also hopes to put some of the money into trust funds for Selena's children. I want to do as much for the family as I can, Keck said. The passing of a child. I've got 3 of my own, and I don't think I could take it to bury any of them. I hate to see what they're going through. Now here are a few feature articles. Railway Museum in San Angelo, chugging to life in November with slate of events, by Linda Thorson Bond, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published October 29th. The Railway Museum of San Angelo is a 100-year-old relic of yesteryear. Starting in November, it's going to come to life. Once the conductor punches each ticket and yells, "All aboard!", the museum will be a lively and exciting place with conductors, engineers, and telegraph operators leading tours. The Living History tour starts when the students of Great Creek High School take over the museum from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, November 14th. They will be in historic costumes as the people who worked for the Santa Fe Railroad 100 years ago. The students for the first Living History Day are organized by Janice Lozano, MS Education, the CCMR Transition Coordinator at Great Creek High School. The museum is giving students the opportunity to gain experience in the tourism industry as docents. Railway Museum Board President Susanna Valenzuela said the National Museum Day in September was a highlight of the year, with over 200 visitors. Board members volunteered to wear costumes and lead tours. It was such a success, she now wants other organizations to have their own day at the Railway Museum. We invite other groups to have the fun of leading tours dressed as conductors, controllers, and engineers, she said. Groups can pick their Saturday and we'll help with costumes and teach them how to introduce visitors to the scale model trains and railway equipment. They'll learn the answers to the scavenger hunt and some of the inside stories of San Angelo's railway history. It could be a great team-building exercise for business groups, or lots of fun for local people who wish they had an outlet for all their talent right now. To meet the needs of a wide variety of volunteers as railway personnel, Valenzuela said the museum is collecting costumes from the 1880s to 1910s. We would love for people to donate their costumes and hats, as well as their striped denim bib overalls, she said. Online activities are also available on facebook.com/ Railway Museum of San Angelo. Rail Tales, a reading about Thomas the Tank Engine, is live at 2 p.m. Mondays. The Railway Museum has self-guided tours with a scavenger hunt and an activity booklet for children every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tickets are $3 for children under 5, $4.50 for military, $5 for adults. Masks are required. Visit the Railway Museum at 703 South Chadburn Street in downtown San Angelo. For more information about Living History Days, call 325-340-3363 or email info.railwaymuseum@gmail.com. Fruit trees are a fun addition, but take the time to do it right. By Allison Watkins. Published November 4th. Many landscape and garden plantings are spur-of-the-moment decisions. It is fun to get an idea to grow something new and make it happen right away. But most landscape additions have the best success with some planning ahead. Careful selection of planting location and variety and good bed preparation can make a big difference for plants to be more productive and live longer. This is especially true for fruit trees. It is very important to choose the right crop and variety and use good planting techniques. Container-grown fruit trees can be planted any time of year, though summer is the most difficult time of year to establish, and fall-winter is best. And bare root trees should only be planted during the dormant winter season, about mid-December through February. Right now is a great time to consider adding a fruit tree or two to the home landscape to provide a fresh, delicious harvest for years to come. First, choose what kind of fruit to grow. Visit tomgreen.agrilife.org/horticulture to see a list of recommended fruit and nut varieties for the Concho Valley. Apples, pears, peaches, plums, apricots, pomegranates, and figs are all good fruit tree choices. Select a variety that is adapted to the local climate. Orders can be placed with nurseries ahead of time to ensure the desired plants are available when it's time to plant. Fruit trees require full sun and well-drained soil. Choose a sunny location in the yard and check the drainage by digging a 1-foot-deep hole and fill with water. If the water drains within 24 hours, the drainage is acceptable. Over 24 hours is less desirable, and over 48 hours is considered unsuitable for fruit trees. If drainage is poor, a large 10-foot square raised bed can be installed for the fruit tree, or the soil can be pushed into a raised berm to increase drainage. Till the area to be planted and incorporate compost. Soil amendments are not recommended when planting large shade trees because the root system will become too large. But fruit trees are smaller and benefit from enriching the soil to increase organic matter and drainage. Some annual ryegrass can be planted and grow on the plot as green manure or cover crop until tree planting time, to create small channels in the soil and keep the soil aerated and loose. Till in before planting the tree and finish with wood mulch. Research shows that newly planted fruit and nut trees grow bigger, faster, when a thick layer of mulch is applied over a wide area around the trunk. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.